Hello, and welcome to the most forward-thinking and enlightening podcast in the world. Conscious Rebel, with Talib Barney. Proceed with caution and detail, for your personal transformation and soul are at risk. Thank you, and enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. What's up? Welcome to Conscious Rebel. This is Talon. We are at episode 47 already. Crazy. Season 2. Welcome again. It's Friday, which means it is thought-provoking storytelling Friday. And it's been a couple weeks, actually, since I've even told a story. But today, what I want to do, and I think I'll throw a story in there later, but I actually want to focus on storytelling itself and the power of storytelling. Now, stick with me here because right off the bat, that doesn't sound super intriguing, but I'm going to connect this in, and this is going to be very powerful, and you're going to see how storytelling truly runs everything that we do. So let's dive into this. What's really interesting is that there's been a lot of research done on our minds and on the brains. And I mean, storytelling itself goes back 6,000 years to, you know, etching within the caves and drawing pictographs and telling stories through symbols and through rites and through different things like that. But we actually, if you talk to a neurologist, when it really comes down to it, they state how we actually have what they call storytelling brains. It's just how we learn. We learn as humans through stories. It's how we connect. Obviously, we have three parts of the mind. You have the subconscious, the conscious, and the supraconscious. And in order to really align the subconscious to the conscious, there has to be some form of not only connection, but you have to be able to bring the conscious down to deeper wavelengths and really engage the conscious mind. Now, excuse me, what stories do, why they're powerful is because, I can't freaking breathe. Why stories are powerful is because what they do is they allow you to ingrain and to kind of subtly put certain principles and attitudes and values within a story that if you can engage the listener, they then adopt those attitudes and beliefs. And I've talked about this before through Didieri. There's a beautiful book that I'm starting to read again. It's called The Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall. And it goes through this in depth of the power of storytelling. But if you actually look at culture right now, culture is ran by story. That is how you change people. You change people through culture. But the reason why culture changes people is because it tells a story. Music tells a story. Art tells a story. Movies and film, they tell a story. Everything that's involved within culture itself, and obviously writing as well and books, it tells a story. And it's through this story, it takes you on this journey. And as you're able to resonate to this journey, that's when you really adopt the principles. And that's why wives tells, that's why mythology, that's why these things are still to this day, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, they still stick. That's why we still have certain wives tells that actually run true, because we as humans, we forget a lot of things, but what we don't forget is stories. So if you can ingrain and actually really embed certain principles that you want people to learn into a story, that is how you impact culture at scale. Now, there's three parts to a story to really, really engage the listener and bridge the gap. And this is what I mean by bridge the gap. You have to remember that people, again, they make subconscious choices. And I'm not going to get into this because we've gone over this in a lot of episodes, but people make subconscious choices. 95% of your day is ran from the subconscious mind. You have to realize that. And so in order to really get to people and really transform them, or I should say help them to transform themselves, you have to get deep into their psyche and you have to bridge this gap, is what we call it. The gap is the space between what you want and where you are. That's a big gap. The best way to really bridge a gap is through storytelling. And this is why. as you build a bridge, the easiest, most effective way to build bridges that capture attention, influence behavior, and transform those who cross them, resulting in gaps that stay closed and bridges that last, is with storytelling. And those are the three phases themselves. Number one, attention. Number two, influence. And number three, transformation. Attention, the first step. This is where the story has the ability to transport the listener into the world of that story. It's through this that you grasp the person, through the why, through the really punchline of the story that you bring this person in. And remember, when I say story, don't be thinking of just books. Expand your mind, go outside of the box, and think of everything itself. Think of art, think of music, think of just communication with a person. Everything is really ran through a story. So the attention part is this, is getting to transport that person really into another world, taking them out of their reality. The second is influence, which is the more engrossed an audience is in a story, the more likely they are to adopt the perspectives within that story, and their attitudes change actually to match the story. That's why, going back to the Aborigine practice of Didiri, that's why that's powerful, because what they do is they take the person who has been hurt, who has been traumatized, who has been shamed, and they put them in the circle, and they go around the circle and they retell this story. They tell this person how much they love, how much they love that person, how much they mean to the group, and they go through with this loving behavior. And over time, as the person in the middle adopts their story, they start to adopt the same attitude and beliefs of love and compassion towards themselves. So this is powerful. You can find this throughout history, but the influence part is where, once you get them into the story, into that world, then they're more likely, because you've gotten deep into the psyche, to the subconscious mind, to actually adopt the perspectives and attitudes within that story. And they'll actually start to match the storyline. This is why superhero movies are so powerful, because it's the story of a hero's journey. It's the story of someone who's surmounting certain obstacles, overcoming certain behaviors. They face a crisis, and then they have to kind of come together and be one and be united. And in the end, they end up conquering the enemy, right? That's the superhero story. We love that because that's life. Life is really about going through the same process as a superhero, and you are the hero to your own story. However, most people shy away from the hero's journey. They shy away from being the hero of their own story, so they would rather outsource that through movies. And so they like to sit down in a theater and watch a hero do it and vicariously live through that hero rather than actually go on that journey themselves. But that's the power of stories. If you've noticed, if you watch Netflix or TV a lot, which I don't at all, actually, but if you do, you'll be able to relate to this. If you've watched a certain season, the only shows I've actually ever watched all the way through is Prison Break. But if you watch a certain show that has a lot of seasons, what you'll start to notice is that you will start to adopt that reality is real. It no longer becomes a TV show, but you start to think the way they think. You start to look around and do the things that they do. If it's a war-type movie where there's a warrior, or there's battles, or there's fighting, it actually legitimately changes your brain, and it changes your perspective and the way that you view the world. So now you're constantly going around, you're more on edge, actually. You're more in a state of hypervigilance. You're looking around you because you have adopted the attitudes of that story of becoming a warrior. Story is powerful. It's super, super powerful. It's the same thing with a book. If you're super enthralled in a book and just lost in it days and days at a time, when you emerge from reading that book and you go into reality to meet up with friends or whatever it is, you actually have a hard time shifting from the book to like the real world because you've gotten lost in that world. And once you're lost in that world, you adopt those principles and those, you know, attitudes and behaviors. The last step after influence is transformation. Once an audience emerges from the story, they are changed, just in the examples I just gave. You can't, if a story truly is powerful, there's no way that someone can be transported into a story, into that world, be so engrossed in it, adopt those attitudes, those beliefs, those perspectives, and then there's no way they can't emerge out of that without being changed on some level. That right there is the power of story. So ask yourself this question, you know, how do I change this person or change that person? Well, number one, you can't change people. But if you really want to have an effect on people, you do it through story. you pull them into the story, and within the story you adopt and you plant certain principles and values that you want to get across to that person. That's why if you look at certain, you know, just videos or certain films, or the one that comes to my mind that my friend watches, who, and he's obsessed with it, but it's The Last Avatar, and it's this anime, you know, kind of Nickelodeon cartoon show. I don't even know what you call it. And I've seen a couple episodes, but what's fascinating about it is that it implants like these principles and these values of good, and it teaches you things through this cartoon. And that's why film and television and media is so powerful, because it runs the minds of the youth, and not only the youth, but I say the youth because their minds are more impressionable, but culture really controls everything. And it controls everything because it's telling a story. And it's once we get wrapped into that story, we then start to change and start to align to that story. So if the stories are not teaching good values and good precepts and good character, then that's where we start to see damage as a society. So that right there, that's the power of storytelling. Hopefully that wasn't too boring. I realize that was kind of just information after information, but if you really want to change someone, if you really want to make a difference, if you really want to make an impact and transform people and take people's breath away and change them on a psychological level, you have to use story. And it's building that bridge, you know, going from the subconscious to the conscious, going from the space between what they want to where they want to be. You bridge that gap with attention, influence, and transformation. Those are the three steps of telling a powerful story. Now, let's end this off with a story of my own. I realized that as I was going through the different stories, I kind of made a list of things that I want to share over time. One of them that I've never touched on, and I kind of feel a little guilty for this because I never even wrote the blog on it, but it was on my whole journey with the homeless. I've never talked about that, and I never wrote the third part of the blog. I think the reason being is, at least a big part of it. I haven't completely dissected it, but a big part of it is, number one, it was such a breathtaking journey living with the homeless for 50 days. I hitchhiked over 1,000 miles all the way from Weed, California, up north on the border of Oregon, down to Los Angeles. I hitchhiked over a period of 50 days, you know, and it was such a mind-shifting and life-transforming experience. I really didn't know how to condense it down into a blog. I actually ended up writing the majority of the blog, probably 3/4 of it, and I just felt like it wasn't doing it justice, and so I never actually ended up posting it. But let me share a short part of that and kind of one of the impactful moments on that journey, because there really was quite a bit. One of the lessons that the journey with the homeless taught me was truly the goodness in people. I think that before that, we all go through experiences that kind of jade our mind, that kind of jade the way that we look at the world. And I definitely had been through some of those experiences, and I think I looked more on the side of, I definitely wasn't negative, I wasn't a pessimist, but I think I was a little bit jaded by life. And I really didn't know if I believed that there was genuinely good people out there. And it's funny because every time people spread the message of be kind, that was always a message that really, really bugged me, because I felt like it was really superficial, not very genuine and real. And of course that was me judging. Once I was homeless, I met so many good people. Again, this was just off of the heels of living with the monks, who were some of the best people I've ever met in my life. But living with the homeless truly changed my perspective of the world and how many good people I met. There was one day where I was up near Mount Shasta, and I was in this park just sitting there because I didn't know what else to do. I nowhere to go, no plan, no phone, no nothing really. So I was sitting there in this park, and I'd already been there for a few days actually, and I was kind of just sitting there. It was a nice day. It was a little cold. Probably about 45 degrees or so, and kind of just sitting there playing with the grass. Who knows? I was just so bored. And along came this guy walking along the road, probably about 30 yards in front of me. And he came walking. He was homeless as well. I could tell he had this massive bag, but he was walking super quick. And he's walking. He had this big backpack on, this red bandana around his head. He was sweating. He had this big kind of gallon jug of water that he was hauling with himself, breathing really heavy. You could tell that he had been walking for quite a long time. And as he was walking down the street, he turned and he saw me. He saw that I was homeless as well. It's kind of like this homeless code of ethics. So he turned and he came towards me. He's like, you know, do you mind if I sit? I was like, not at all. And he sat down and we spent the next few hours actually chatting with each other and me getting to know his story. He had been kicked out of his house. He had actually hitchhiked through 37 states, which was crazy to me. Like, he'd been on this journey. I believe this was month 9 for him. And he had hiked all this way, and he told me all these crazy stories of how he survived, different people that he met. But what was really interesting about it is he was one of the most positive people I ever met. He had nothing, been kicked out of his house, had lost quite a bit. He was a recovering meth addict, so he'd struggled a long time for addiction, and he'd only been sober for 2 months. So he was still battling that addiction in real time. But I asked him, like, how in the world did you make it across 37 states? And I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, honestly, he was like, it was simply off of the generosity of people. And he proceeded to tell me how at each point when he ran out of food or he ran out of money that he had collected or he ran out of something, there would be someone there that appeared that would give him something, that would give him a ride, that would give him, you know, $5, that would give him some food. And he made it across 37 states hitchhiking just off of the generosity of human beings. That was a real tender mercy for me. That was a little subtle change in my life that really started to guide me towards seeing the brighter side of life and really seeing that there, in my mind, starting to shift the belief from living in a hostile world to living in a world that's full of miracles and love and that the majority is good. And as he proceeded to tell me these stories, I was so pulled into these stories of these different people that had helped him, that had given to him, that had really gone out of their way and gone the extra mile to just help him out as much as they could. And it wasn't even me who had experienced this, but yet through him telling me these stories of these different people, it impacted me so much. And it really honestly got down in my psyche and helped to rewire and help me to reframe my perspective on the world and start to actually question and start to actually think to myself, you know, maybe the world really actually is a good place, you know? Maybe the majority of people actually are good. Like, when they're really put to the test, maybe they really, in their DNA, in their true nature, they are good human beings. They've just gone through a lot. I've seen maybe the ugly sides of people. Maybe I've been betrayed, had bad experiences, and been jaded. But, like, at the end of the day, maybe people really are just inherently good. And that was very... That shifted my entire frame of reference, and I'll never forget that. He ended up teaching me quite a bit. He asked me to hitchhike with him down all the way down to Arizona from California. He was a little scary, so my gut told me that probably wasn't a smart idea, so told him goodbye, and he left, you know, and I never saw him again. But within just a matter of 3 hours, he was able to share his life story with me and impact me in such a way that it gave me so much confidence to continue forward on this journey, to have faith in other people, to believe in the world, to believe that people are good. And that was through one man. So that right there is the power of storytelling. People need to hear your story. There are people who will be changed and who will be affected by your story. I promise that. So have the confidence to speak up. Have the confidence to share your voice, and have the confidence and trust in yourself that you do have a story, that you are writing it, you are the author to your story, and that one day you need to share that book with the world. But even in the process of writing this rough draft of your life, you need to be sharing those stories with others, because it is through storytelling that we impact culture at scale. And it's through storytelling that people will transform and truly change their psyches and start to blossom into the people that they were meant to be. So that's a wrap. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a beautiful weekend. Ciao.